Can Baba help us in personal ways in our lives? I mean, apart from apart from spiritual things, you know, help in guidance in our lives and what to do and
yeah, why not? He has been helping us. He's provided you call out to him for help. He's there to help.
Is it all right to ask Baba? Sometimes I want to pray for specific kinds of things, for help for other people or for myself.
Yeah.
But I don't feel comfortable praying to Baba as Baba for that kind of thing. Because I got the impression from his books that he only wants us to approach him for purely for spiritual things.
That's the best
thing. While Jesus...
That's the best thing for you to do. Mm-hmm. That's what he says. But he has also said this. On many occasions, I am the interpreter there, and I heard him say to many people, Baba, they hesitate to ask. Baba, you have told us so many times not to ask you for anything, but then we don't know what to do. We feel ourselves lost and all that. So Baba says, who has stopped you from asking me? Ask again and again, a million times. That's how I have interpreted his gesture.
Mm-hmm.
But don't expect an answer. Because if you expect an answer, you are belittling my compassion and my omniscience.
Yes.
That's what he said. Because whatever is being given or whatever will be given will be according to my compassion and my omniscience, which is best for you.
I forget where I
so
read
then
that.
He doesn't stop us from asking him. We have to unburden ourselves. We have to cry out to him. We have to say, I'm suffering. Please, Baba, please come to my rescue. Please help me and all that. It's but natural tendency of human heart to speak out, to cry out to him. If you don't cry out to me, don't ask me, then who is there for you to ask? Who is there? To whom will you go? He tells that man, ask again and again a million times, but don't expect an answer. Leave it to me.
I think that reminds me of something I read once about prayer, that you should always say and when praying to God for help, if it is your will, if it be your will, not just...
But I
made that mistake once. I was in a desperate situation, and I really prayed to God or to Baba for help with all my power, and instead, not for things to get better, but a glimpse of hope, and instead things got worse. It was such a terrible moment that I almost stopped believing in God for a couple of years. I didn't stop believing in God, but I stopped believing that God could help me, because maybe I prayed too hard, expecting something.
That's what you have said, I expect now. Because in my compassion and omniscience, I do just that which will be of help to you. Another story that comes to mind, just this might throw some light on this. Not Baba's story, but it is related to that. At the time it was being told. So the story is that there is a place which is totally, has become totally barren because of long-standing drought. There's no rain. And people are suffering, but they have the hope. Man lives on hope. So, this monsoon, here we live from monsoon to monsoon. You know what monsoon means? The rainy season. We have 4 months of rainy season. From the month of June it starts, and it lingers on. Really speaking, June, July and August are 3 months. But it just goes on to September in some areas in India. So this is the story in India. So what has happened is there is a place, there is a city where there is the drought and there is no rain. Next year it might rain. Next year it might rain. 3 years success in succession it had not rained. And the water levels have gone down. And there is no hope now. Man will not survive like that. So they don't know. Formerly each individual family and at home, they would fervently pray to the Lord to give them rain for surviving purposes. Now they come and talk about it and all, what's going to happen, what's, they are in panic now. People are in panic now. Talk about it and all that. So it says, well, let there be congregational prayers. So they go and pray and nothing seems to happen. This is the third year that has passed now. The fourth year is confronting them, and without water it's impossible. Either we have to mass scale, emigrate, or there should be some divine intervention. So nothing seemed to have worked. Nothing seemed to have worked. So some wise person said, why not? There is a perfect master somewhere here nearby. And say about 300 miles from here, let's all go there and beg of him to give us, to intervene. He can intercede on our behalf. He is the perfect one. We know him. He is the man of God. He is God in human form. So they all go, the elders all go there. Some women also join, some others, youngsters also join, and they all go in a procession. It's a sort of a pilgrimage to that master's place. They go there and they say, Master is asking, what's the matter with you? Why have you all come here? Who are you all? Why have you come here? He says, such is the situation. What can we do? Please intercede on our behalf and get us rain. Otherwise, it is impossible for us to survive. There is no way out but to perish or to leave the township and go away from here. It's a sort of an exodus, mass exodus, which is not possible. Where would we go? We don't know, leaving our own homes. So please intercede on our behalf. So Master says, you better go home and just remember the Lord. He says, we have been doing that. They tell, we have held congregational prayers, we have been praying year after year, year after. Now we have lost all hopes. The only hope is you. He says, don't have any hope in me. I can't be of any help to you. You can't be of any help to us? What? You are the master. And they start eulogizing him, you see. Whatever you say, you just keep to yourself. I tell you that I cannot be of any help to you. But why not? Under these circumstances? He says, yes, I cannot be of any help to you because I know. You know? What is it that you know? He says, I cannot intercede on your behalf because I know. But what... why? You know our situation, how pitiable our situation is. Yeah. Because, but what do you know? He says, I know one thing. That it is great mercy and compassion that you all are still surviving. Otherwise your plight and fate is such that the earth would part and devour you. But I don't know. I know it that you, because of his compassion, you all are still what you are, surviving. Because that much I know. Because, really speaking, the earth should devour you. So that means we have to just languish like that and die? What? Because I know I can't do it. But there is somebody who does not know, and go for that person, go to that person, and that person will intercede on your behalf, and I'm sure if you can manage to do that and beg of the person, then that person will do the trick. Who is that person? Well, not too far from your city. Is in your city here. The person is in your city. Who is that? You know that, say, famous prostitute that is there? Says, what? To go and ask the prostitute, these are all elders with their great beards and all that sort of thing, and robes and all that. I says, what? We have to go to that prostitute and beg of her? Says, she is the only one who can intercede on your behalf. But why not you? We revere you. We beg of you to do it. Don't just play with us like that. I says, no, I tell you seriously. Because I know I can't do it. See how he is knowing. You follow? They can't do it. He knows, and that's why, whatever he knows, he has given you what is best for you. to the extent that you can digest and help yourself. So he says, go there. If you want any relief, go there. I'm telling you to go there. I shouldn't have told you that, but you can go there and try your best to tell her to intercede. Tell her to join in prayers and pray to the Lord and that she is the only right person. Well, there's no other recourse. They have to go. They have to go to that. They all go there. They go back to that town or city and go to that prostitute's place. And she is frightened to see the crowd like this. She says, what makes you come here? She says, mother, come down. Please. Please come and just hear what we have to tell you. So she hurriedly comes and she's frightened with the whole crowd. What's the matter? She says, this is what we want you to do. Me? Do you all know who I am? She says, we rightly know who you are, but we have been told that you are the only one who can intercede. Have faith. They are now telling her to have faith in God and intercede. Because we have heard from the one who knows. That's how they persuade her. Whatever you are, the world knows you. And you know yourself. But we have been told by the Great One that you are the only one at this juncture who can be of help to us, to save us. We have no food and no water now. So very fervently she kneels down and prays to the Lord and joins and tells the congregation to join with her and help her out of the situation. So they all pray. And sure enough, there is a downpour and so forth and so on. It's just everything becomes lush in no time. Heavy downpours come. All of a sudden the clouds gather and there's rainfall. Now with this, of course, this is one side. What has happened is, after this the prostitute is forgotten, God is forgotten, the master is forgotten, and they begin to live their own life. But one thing of this sort has turned the life of another person. So the prostitute begins to feel, what is in me? Why did that perfect master select me? What has happened? How come that I am the one who was selected? And does he not know who I am and all that? And it did happen. That's true. He knows all this and he must be knowing that I am a prostitute. What is it? What's in me that I could intercede on behalf of this? So many elders had come over here, so pure and religious persons and all that. So she makes a pilgrimage. She's very beautiful, even at the age that she is middle aged now. She goes and makes pilgrimage on foot. She is very wealthy. Goes to that old man and says, he tells her, so you have at last come. You have come. She says, yes, I have come to ask you of one boon. What is it? I want nothing. I don't want even God. But all I want to know, why is it that you named me to be the interceder? What is it that my prayers were heard by God? What qualities are there within me? He says, in your record is there, we all know. But there was one saving grace. What was needed was food and water. You were, in your youth, very haughty. And you were proud of your beauty and the way that you walked, and you would not listen to anybody. You didn't care for the world because the world cared for you. Even in your haughtiness, one day while you were going on board, which you may have forgotten, there was a calf that was starving, you know, a cattle calf. Starving, and it was struggling. The farmer had left the calf unattended, knowing fully well that he would be coming that evening to feed the calf. He had put a sheaf of what you call fodder and all that, but that he had wound itself, that calf had wound itself so much on the string there that was struggling to get to the sheaf that was the fodder that was there, but couldn't. So, while you were walking in your pride and haughtiness and all that you did was seeing that plight, unbeknown to you, you didn't care for anything else. All that you did was just give a kick to it and it went to it. Without your having thought that you are helping the person or doing that, it was recorded as one of your greatest merits. And that, on that strength, I knew that, and on that strength, naturally, if you were to plead to the Lord, it will recompense would be there. So that's why I said that. And it did happen. So having served that, without a thought of having served, without giving a single thought, because of her haughtiness, pride, and all that, just a kick, just seeing the thing struggling. So likewise, humanity was struggling in the city. That helped. That merit carried the weight. That's what the secret is there. But that changed her whole life. And then she began to lead a pure life, became the saint of the city, and she was revered. Changed the whole venue. The style of life was changed. That one little thing could merit such things. So such are the things. Help is there. But the knower never wants to help the way that you want to be helped. Mm-hmm. The help is always there because he knows. But the way that you want to be helped will not be there. So expect no answer. Ask. Unburden yourself.